Also, I won it with a Coca-Cola. You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. And Coca-Cola, yes. Way better than Pepsi, right? Way better than Pepsi.
100%. I am full on the Coke train.
I mean, you're on the Coke train, you say?
Well, okay. The Coca-Cola train.
You know, we don't usually shill for giant international corporations, but Coca-Cola, when you're in the mood, I mean, I don't drink a whole lot of them. I drink maybe one a week, maybe once every other week. But when you're in the mood for Coca-Cola, it really is tasty. Yeah. It really is tasty.
Coke Zero is also very good. I enjoy Coke Zero.
Ew. Ew. Ew.
Why? Ew. It's good.
It tastes like chemicals. It tastes awful. Also, Em, you as a woman should not be drinking Coke Zero because Coke Zero is the Diet Coke marketed towards men so they don't feel as if they're drinking a diet soda. It is inappropriate for you. You should be drinking Diet Coke, Em, not Coke Zero, the manly Diet Coke beverage.
The manly Diet Cola.
that's what Coke Zero is.
Sure.
So anyways, a lot happening at Punk News this week and in the next couple weeks. We got a real cool slate coming up. Next week, I may or may not be on, or it might just be Sam and Em, because I won't be around Thursday. So if Em wants to record on Tuesday, I'll be there. But if not, then Sam and Em will record on Thursday. So you'll get a Sam. And maybe time is right for a Sam and Em episode. So I won't be around next week. But the week after that, we've got the Melvins on, Buzz and Roy Mayorga, also of Nausea and Amoebics and Ministry. And Soulfly, and I'm missing one important Stone Sour, and I'm missing one other important band that he's in. He's also in the Melvins. So that, honestly, I am super looking forward to that episode because, I mean, I've interviewed Buzz a lot, and he can be not kind of a difficult interview because he's very closed off and guarded, and he's very intelligent, and I feel like I annoy him a lot. Roy, I've interviewed before, and Roy and I, last time, 10 years ago, we really had a good time talking about Amoebics. And so I just can't wait to have them. I mean, I'm a huge fan of both of those bands, and I can't wait to have them on. Then after that, we've got the band Cunts on, CNTS. Woo! And so we've got a pack slate coming up, man. Pack slate.
Hell
for
yeah.
Sure.
I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, also, M more tells you what to listen to. That's live right now, so you can check that out. Also, we've got a show coming up July 27th. Ramones Mania, Summer Soiree 7, Danjo Mar, Joe Jack, Calcum, Dead Milkman, doing an all Ramones set with the band Danjo Mar, and Mike Yerg doing an all Ramones set, and the Ramones, and Froggy, all doing all Ramones stuff. Also, June 2 is the next Philly Record Freakout, and things are popping at Punk News, Em. Things are hustling and bustling.
Hell yeah. I love when things are hustling and bustling. Also, I just pulled up the podcast to get a screenshot of the merch, like M tells you to listen to. And the one before, it's just called Sex Party. It's like, perfect.
Do you think I should change it? Actually, I forgot. I forgot to. We called it Fluid Party. Should I leave it as Sex Party?
We called it Liquid Party.
Should I change it to Liquid Party? Is that funnier? What do you like better, M? I'll leave it up to you. Sex Party or Liquid Party?
Sex Party's already up. I think we should leave it a Sex Party because I think it's funny.
And on the Sex Party episode, we talk about sex parties, dog party, the Johnny Ramone party, and the off party. So
lots of parties.
If I got to pick in order, the first one I'm going to is the Johnny Ramone party, then the off party. And the only reason off party comes in second is because I've seen off a bunch of times. Then the dog party. Then the last one, at my great objection, would be the sex party. And those four parties, in what order are you going to those four parties? Yeah. The Ramones party, the off party, the dog party, and the sex party.
Okay. I think dog party is going to come first. Because I'm really loving the new single. Then I'm going to go with the off party. Because that seems like a lot of fun. Then I think it would be the Ramones party because I think it would be interesting. And then it would be the sex party. But with the sex party, I would have to have ground rules. Everybody is tested going in. So no one's spreading anything. And protection is used. And then it's time for like a big cuddle pit with fluids.
Listen, if I had to go to the sex party, I'm not even engaging. I'm like hanging out in the chip room eating chips or something. I want no part of that. No part. You know?
Hey, you could have a Coca-Cola.
Maybe they got like Mario Kart in the basement or something. I'll just go to the basement and play Mario Kart or something, you know?
What's your go-to Mario Kart character?
Oh, easy. Yoshi, for sure. Yoshi.
Ooh, good choice.
What's
Very good
yours?
choice. Yoshi for sure, but if it's like the Wii and there's expansion, King Boo.
I've never played. The only Mario Kart I've ever played is the original Mario Kart 64. And my cousin had this one, like that you have to, we should get to the show like proper. But
Yeah,
my
for
little
sure.
cousin, he's not really my cousin, he's my cousin's kid. He stayed over at my parents' house. Well, both of the kids stayed over at my parents' house. So I went over there to help out. And you know, they've got the Wii, and they had one of the Mario Karts, and they're like, we should play Mario Kart. I'm like, hey, yeah, let's go. I'm like, I'm gonna show these little whippersnappers. And I got my ass kicked, and I thought I was going to destroy them because I played Mario Kart for hours and hours and hours and hours back in the day. I got my
Yeah.
ass kicked. I hate the Wii controller, I'll say that.
Oh my God, it's so much fun though. You're like you're actually driving, kind of. Oh, it's a blast, and you can jump and you can have bikes. I love the bikes.
Super Nintendo, Super Mario Kart M. That's the best. That's the best. At any rate, we had a lot happen at the podcast. I mean, we had a lot happen at Punk News this week.
Yes.
And we did April Fools, and our April Fools gag this year was one of the more explosive April Fools we've had in a while, which was cool. I did kind of want to cause some chaos, and we did cause some chaos. The joke was is we did five articles, I think it was. The first
Yeah.
one was, and these are all fake people. These are not real stories. In case you're dumb enough to believe these are real stories, these are not real stories. And I'll tell you why in a second. The first one was Rome joins. Not
Social
Vanderbilt,
distortion.
Social Distortion.
Yep.
The second was Rome joins back to NSYNC. The third
Yes.
was Rome joins the Lawrence Welk band, which is not real. The fourth was Rome joins the Max Rebo band, which is the band in Jabba's Palace, which is not real. Rome didn't actually go back millions of years and across multiple galaxies to play in an interstellar music band. Then it
What?
was. Then it was Rome joins Sublime and leaves Sublime with Rome, which was not real. And then it was Rome joins Punk News, which
Yes.
unfortunately was not real.
No.
And I was I think Em, I think the general au revoir was your idea, wasn't it? Like the general joke.
Probably. I think we all kind of came up with it because it's like something that's topical and something that's funny. I think I did write it on the Facebook post though.
I think it was M's idea, and it
Yeah.
was
It was funny.
the articles were really only up for maybe, well, I think they
Like
went
2 hours.
actually, well, they started at 9 and were down by like 12:30 or 1 actually, and so I was pretty pleased with them, and actually, like for once, the readers actually dug it and thought it was kind of funny. I thought it was kind of funny. We didn't get an explosive reaction, but I thought it came off pretty good, and I was quite pleased that I photoshopped a bunch of pictures. Where I replaced Eric Wilson with like Lawrence Welk or the Social Distortion guy, or my favorite one was Max Rebo, the blue elephant
Yeah.
from Jabba's Palace. And so, or for this one, which was not real, where Rome joined Sublime, I removed Eric Wilson's head and then put Rome's head on, so it was two Romes in the car. And so I was pretty pleased with it. I thought it was pretty funny. I think people got a chuckle out of it, you know?
Yeah.
But then. At about 12:30 or so, I got an email. Let me see here. I'm going to read you the email. I got an email, we'll say, from a concerned party. Give me a second here. I should have pulled up. Emma, I should have been prepared.
Wait, what did you
Here we
Photoshop
go.
the Punk News join or sorry, Rome joins Punk News?
Oh, I just put the Punk News P over top of Eric Wilson's face.
That's funny. Okay.
So I got this email. Hi.
Yes.
Hi. Please take this article down. It is false, and the info is actually they had it. Please take this article down. It is false, and the info is correct. She meant to say the info is incorrect, but she said is correct. So anyway, so then I did what we usually do for April Fools is then I did a tag on each article. This article is fake, which I thought I wouldn't have to do this year because I thought it was clear that Rome didn't actually join Lawrence Welk, who's been dead for like 30 years, you know, but. You know,
Never know.
so I thought that would have been enough. Then I get an email. Hi, I saw what you posted, but we still need it taken down now. please confirm that it is taken down now. And I was kind of pissed off, and I realized, I mean, legally, honestly, legally, we were in the clear because
Yeah.
it's not trademark, because everyone is, it's clear that this is not coming from, I have to be careful here. It's clear that it's not coming from any musician because the stories are so obviously false. You know, like if I did an article that said Mick Jagger finds the Taliban and defeats them all. No, everyone realizes that's not real. So it's not a trademark infringement because no one thinks it actually came from Mick Jagger. Similarly, it's not a rights of publicity issue. Because it's a famous person and it's not real, and it's clear that it's not real. Third of all, it's not a defamation issue because we're not saying anything untrue that's hurting someone, and no reasonable person would believe it. So it's actually not a defamation on two counts. In order to prove defamation, it has to be an untrue statement, which it was, that the average that a reasonable person would believe, which it was not, that causes damage to the third party, which was communicated to a third party. So obviously, it fails two of the three prongs of defamation. So I was annoyed they were being so rude. But I thought to myself, well, listen, man, like the joke's up there, people read it. I don't need this to be up there for years, like some of the April Fools. So I'll just take it down. Look, like I can either fight about this over the next week or month or whatever, or I've already made the joke. The joke's already there. I can have it out of my life today, you know? So I took down the Rome Joined Sublime article, which was fake, and I put XYZ's publicist made us take this article down and I put a frowny face, you know?
Oh
Oh, no, actually, I no,
my
no,
God.
no. Before I did that, literally 1 minute after the email I just read, I got this email. You have to pull it down within the hour or we will file a defamation suit. But it's not defamation, Em. We're not saying anything untrue that a reasonable person would believe, and it's not causing financial damage to anybody. You know what I mean? So it's not
Yeah, for
defamation.
sure.
And I was really annoyed that, I mean, I've litigated many defamation suits. Well, not many. I've 10 to 15. So I
That's
know
still
my
a good
way around.
amount.
I know my way around defamation a little bit. You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
I'm so annoyed at them that they're kind of flexing beyond their boundaries. You know what I mean? Because they just think we're a bunch of knuckleheads, which we are. And I'm thinking, well, I'm gonna show you. I know all about defamation. So go ahead and sue us. Sue us. Let's see who wins. But then I thought, you know, I'm like, you know, this could be out of the joke's already out there, you know. And I came up with the Rome Joined Sublime joke, which was kind of the topper. But then I realized M's Rome Joins Punk News is the ultimate topper. So I actually switched the last. So it's like, you know, so I came up with that joke. And I said, oh, I've already made the joke. It's already, I mean, I already did it. You know, I don't need to step there forever. But also, it felt a little mean-spirited because I think Rome is bummed out about getting kicked out of Sublime. You know what I mean, Em?
I think
So
so.
would you agree that the joke, while I'm not intending to hurt Rome, the unintended consequence is it's a little, well, so I guess it's not mean-spirited. I'm not trying to hurt Rome's feelings.
Yeah,
But I
no.
guess there is some shrapnel in the joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a little bit.
But on the other hand, Em,
But
if we
yeah.
go around tiptoeing on eggshells to that extent, then we can never make any joke ever, and we can never do anything daring ever. You know what I mean? Like
But like not, sorry.
sometimes you know, we're not looking to destroy anybody. Even
No.
Michael Graves, who I unwittingly destroyed. I'll tell that story in a second.
Well, he deserved
And
that.
yeah, actually, we'll take a sidestep. When Michael Graves said that he was a Proud Boy, I literally just screenshot his Instagram. And said, Michael Graves says he's a Proud Boy. Here's what he said. And I didn't even say Michael Graves is a Proud Boy, and that's bad. I literally just said, Michael Graves says he's a Proud Boy. And that got his
Right.
entire social media just nuked. So I unwittingly destroyed Michael. And I like that didn't bring me any joy. I think, you know, being a Proud Boy is stupid. I think it's not a good idea. And I think it looks bad for Michael Graves to do that. But I totally believe in freedom of speech, and I'm not looking to control what other people can say. So I did feel bad that I nuked Michael Graves. I did. And actually he did a new account. He was complaining about me specifically. But the only thing I'm like, all I did was literally copy and paste what you said. I didn't even say that it was bad, you know. Anyway,
Right.
so the point being is this joke with Rome and Sublime, it's It's not destroying them. Maybe it's a little tap in the ribs, but it's not a leveler. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and like it's not, obviously it wasn't meant with any ill intentions,
Right.
you know, and it's just, it's supposed to be like fun and kind of funny and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like it's not poking fun necessarily at Rome. It's just,
or Sublime M. You don't know
or
who sent the cease and
Sublime.
desist. You don't know who sent the cease
That's
and desist,
true.
though.
Or Sublime. That is true. Or it might have been one of the, it might have been Lawrence Welk. It might have been Max Rebo. It might have been Social Distortion. We don't know. But
It might have been Max Rebo. You know,
might have been.
if it was Jabba, you know, I would have taken that down. And once I wouldn't even be talking about this. It was Jabba because he'd be, you know, he'd be he said Boba Fett after me or something. You know.
Sam, and I would have to come rescue you.
I'm in Carbonite, and Sam and Em are like sneaking in, and like.
We're reeling you out.
I wish it was Jabba. I wish it was, but it wasn't.
That would be funny. But yeah, no, like it wasn't meant with any ill intent. It wasn't making fun of Rome. It was just kind of, again,
Or
it's a
Sublime
topical
M. Or what?
or Sublime or any of the parties involved that we talked about. You know, it was just meant to be, again, something that's topical, and the joke was there, and obviously, you know, no, it was fake. No feelings were intended to be hurt. You know, just again, it might be a really tough time now, but in a little while, like, you know, you're gonna be able to look and laugh at it.
I don't know if everyone's gonna be looking and laughing. Not, oh, you mean at our joke or at the situation?
Well, like if you, there's
I mean,
always like, sorry.
I think our joke is hilarious. I think the
Well,
situation
yeah.
might not be hilarious for some people, you know.
No, I don't think it'll be, the situation's hilarious for some people, but I do think that given time, you can find a lot of humor and a lot of light in really tough things that have happened.
So I was really annoyed because I'm like, A, legally we're in the clear and they're not. B, they're calling it defamation, it's not defamation. C, you know, they're being pretty rude. And I'm like, but then I thought, like I said, I thought, like, do I want to fight this for a week, for a year, for a month? Like, it can be out of my life tomorrow. So the joke was been made, I'll just get it out of my life, and that's what I did. And so I took it down. And so,
Yeah.
but I was still annoyed. So then I responded, "Calm down, it's down already." Sheesh. Then they responded, "It's a sensitive time right now, and it could cause confusion in the marketplace." Which just goes to show they don't know what they're talking about. Confusion in the marketplace is trademark infringement. It's not defamation, you know. And then they responded, "I get the joke. It's just a really bad time." And then I said, "I hear you. We're actually fans of Sublime in Rome. I'm a mega
Yeah,
fan."
totally.
Two podcast episodes ago, I even went on an extended discussion about how I felt bad for Rome, but there's no need to be nasty about it. And then, well, they responded that there's more going on under the scenes than has been publicly announced. And I kind of want to read this email, but I don't want to cause any more trouble for myself. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
I'd say don't.
I'll tell him after the podcast. But even in their email, they said this at the bottom. We just can't run with it at this time. I was so annoyed by that, M, because it's so passive aggressive. Like, it's been sorted out, right? You know,
Oh,
we've
yeah,
we
totally.
you know,
Again, we didn't mean any harm with it.
but it's like, no, you don't get to decide if you run with it. I get to decide. I'm the publication. Not I hate how like I hate that one line about how they were kind of seeming like they get to decide what we print when you know, like, no,
Oh, fair
we
enough.
get to. You know, I was so annoyed by that, but like it's not worth the fight. So I sent one more passive aggressive email and then let it drop. So anyways, some people are unsurprisingly humorless about the thing, which on the other hand, like,
Yes.
for the past, I don't know, for the past 5 or 6 years, I've been saying, I miss the chaos era of punk news. I miss when we used to call it chaos. Well, we did cause a little bit of chaos. Not as much as in the past, but a little bit of chaos. And it was fun. I mean, actually, at the time, it was annoying, not fun. But now that it's over and done with, it was fun. You know what I mean?
Oh,
So
totally. Yeah.
I'm giving this new, I'm not New Year's. I'm giving this April Fool's M
This
two
New
thumbs up.
Year's.
Two thumbs up. What do you think? How do you rate our New Year's gag this time around? Not new. How do we rate our April Fool's gag this time around?
I like that it's New Year's. It's a new beginning. It's
Yeah.
spring, so like it fits.
Wicker Man style.
Yes. I think it a lot more people got it this year than last year, because last year like we did more of an abstract thing and I really liked that. I thought it was funny. But I think just with it being so topical and stuff, they were fun to write and I think people enjoyed them. I like reading the comments on the April Fool's posts because they're either very funny or very, very, very nasty. So I like it was April Fool's was on an Easter Monday, so like I wasn't really around the internet. So when I finally kind of got a chance to like check them out, they were gone. So it was like, oh, okay, something must have happened. And now I know the story behind what happened, but I call it a success. Obviously, like don't want to hurt Rome or Sublime's feelings, but
Or Jabba or Max
or
Rebo's.
Jabba's or Max Rebo's or
It
Lawrence
could have been
Welk,
Max Rebo or Lawrence
the
Welk.
estate of Lawrence Welk, I should say. Punk news. What if the call is coming from inside the house?
It was like Sam, like sending me like.
Yeah. Oh my God. Anyways, yeah.
So
I
yeah,
think it was good.
so it was fun. We got to call some cars and it was fun. That was cool. Let's see here. Let's do some news.
Yeah.
This is just kind of we talked about the Ramones earlier. The Ramones are celebrating their 50th anniversary by releasing a picture disc series. It's probably going to be their Sire Records albums, but maybe it'll be more. They announced the first, which is the first album on picture disc, limited to 5,000 copies. Listen, I'm actually surprised at how little the Ramones estate have done to celebrate the 50th anniversary this year.
Yeah.
Maybe part of that is because now the owners of the Ramones are Linda Ramone and some company that I forget the name of that bought Mickey Lee's shares. And like I said before, is I'm kind of annoyed at Mickey Lee because for years and years and years he was like, I care about the Ramones. Linda doesn't care about the Ramones. I care. She doesn't care. And then he sells his share, and she still has her holdings, you know. And
Yeah.
like I said, you know, a lot of people don't like Linda. I interviewed her once. I thought she was nice. But I mean, I don't know a whole lot about, you know, Linda's dealings or backgrounds or whatever. If the reason people like Linda is because she left Joey for Johnny, I think that's kind of a lame reason to not like Linda, if there's other stuff too, you know. But I like between the 2002 reissues and all the archive stuff from the record store days, I think Linda's been doing a fantastic job managing the Ramones estate and keeping it vibrant and important and well curated. I know some people are like that she sells a lot of t-shirts, but I think that's cool because that just keeps interest in the band alive. I don't really care one way or another if Linda makes money off t-shirts. So if her making money off t-shirts is what keeps these cool records coming out, I'm all for it. So anyways, so that's why I was kind of surprised because they've been doing such a good job curating the Ramones history and archive and unreleased stuff. I was surprised they didn't make like a huge year-long thing out of the 50th anniversary of the Ramones. I was really surprised by that.
Yeah.
So they're putting out these picture discs, which I'm not surprised because I feel like maybe it is the beginning of the end of the Ramones being well curated. Like maybe the company is kind of pushing Linda around, or maybe she's fine with what they want to do. But like, picture discs are the laziest, crappiest way to make a product that people quote want to buy. Like record store day, every record store day they've got picture discs of the Cure albums. No one wants picture discs. Well, and actually, Em, you can respond to this. But
Sure.
I never want picture discs. They sound crappy. They look crappy. They're hard to store. The only thing like the first time when you're like 12 when you see a picture disc, you're like, wow, the picture's in the record. And then after you've seen it one time, it's never impressive ever again. You know, it's just like some. It's like, oh, they just put a piece of paper between two clear records. Wow, you know, it's pointless. So I think, Em, that this
Yes.
record store day record. For I mean I'm sorry the Ramones 50th anniversary picture disc, it's stupid, cheap, and lazy. And A, does anyone ever want picture discs? Because I sure don't. B, are you interested in this at all? C, does this feel lazy to you, or do you think it's just kind of a neat thing to do?
I've always viewed picture discs as like commemorative plates. Like you buy them and you frame them or you put them somewhere. Like they're collectibles. I don't see them as being usable. Because it's like they look cool and that's kind of their whole thing. Again, I don't have a method of listening to records right now, but
Em,
like
get a record player. Get a record player, Em.
if any of our lovely listeners would like to send me money to buy a record player, I'll take it. But like, you know, hearing from you and other people like who do enjoy listening to records, like the sound quality, like you just said, isn't there. So it's kind of like, why would you buy it and listen to it if it's just gonna suck? Like you can get a version that sounds very good. So again, I see them just as a collectible piece. Like it would be cool to buy it and like frame it and hang it up somewhere. Like that would look very neat, I think. I also expected more with like the big anniversary for the Ramones. I thought there was going to be like kind of the red carpet rolled out and all sorts of different things happening and like events and stuff. So yeah, maybe the company is taking over from Linda, and she's kind of being edged out, or maybe she's been doing it for so long, maybe it's just time. Again, I don't know what's going on there, but yeah, I am not going to purchase a picture disc myself, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't if you think it's going to look cool on your wall or whatever.
Well, I think you shouldn't. I think you should buy a normal version of the record and enjoy it. So I don't know. It just feels lazy and kind of pointless. And yeah, it's like there's actually a lot of cool Ramone stuff in the like. Honestly, there's a whole album or two albums of rare Joey Ramone tracks that they could put together, which would be friggin' awesome.
Ooh, that would be so
There are
cool.
some Johnny Ramone solo stuff a little bit. There's a lot of really good Ramones live shows. There's a lot of good Ramones stuff still in the vaults. They haven't still really haven't done a large scale release of the late 80s and 90s stuff. Where's that?
True.
I think, and then as mobile commenters mentioned, that being so, no matter what, they'll sell way more copies of the first record than they will of any super curated, hardworking thing, which is why they release so many Billy Joel Greatest Hits records or Bruce Springsteen Greatest Hits records, which is true. It just seems pointless and stupid. I don't want it. So that's that. Here's something that's not pointless and stupid. Effed Up have released a new single, but it's not
Yeah.
new. It's called Being Annoying. And on the A side is the song Being, and the B side is Annoying, which is 6 seconds long. It's actually one song split up across two tracks. This actually was previously released on a very limited scale during the Effed Up Damn tour last year, which I didn't
Oh,
go
yeah.
to, which I should have. And ever since, like, I've got every Effed Up 7-inch, and there's like 70 of them at this point. I every piece of vinyl Effed Up has ever released, including the super hard to find ones like Epic in Minutes, the Vice Fake 7-inch. The Dangerous Fumes mispress. I've got them all. I've got them all. And so I didn't go to the Damn tour, and I should have. And I'm like, and they sort of they released a super limited record. I'm like, ah. But now they've been a wide scale release, so I'm back in the game, man. It's cool. This track is awesome. It's punky, which is my favorite type of effed up. That or their far out stuff. And it's actually also an homage to one of their earliest singles, Bathing the Public, which has one song
Yeah.
split across two sides. And that's kind of what this is so Effed Up has just been doing all these like fairly limited records without much hype at all. Like they don't like it's almost like their earliest days where they don't even hype it at all. They don't send out a press release or anything. They just put it out and a lot of these songs I think they don't even play live and people just pick them up or don't. And I guess that's cool. I think the 7-inch is freaking awesome, man.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, listening to it, I was like, oh my God, I can hear like the Baiting the Public stuff, and this is awesome. And Hardcore Fucked Up is incredible. And I thought it was really funny too, how like Being is like, you know, a little over 3 minutes, and then Annoying is 6 seconds. So it's just like finishing the song. And I thought it was perfect, especially because it was released on, well, I know it was previously released, but just that break worked so perfectly with it being released on April Fool's Day.
Indeed. I didn't catch that was recently on April Fool's Day. You're totally right, Em. Totally right again. I will say, Effed Up has been on fire lately with these Hyper Limited. Well, not Hyper
Yeah.
Limited, but they did. Well, Year the experimental thing. Year of the Horse was awesome.
Year of the
But
Horse
the, but
rules.
that was more. That was more of, I guess, a normal release. Not that, that normal in
Zodiac
that like
release.
it was like announced and all that kind of things. But Cops being annoying. Oberon Effed Up has just been on fire lately. They really have. I wonder what the status of the band is, Em. Like, what do you think the status of the band? And actually, I wish they had released a physical version of the track they did with Hallucination or the Two. Like, I wish they did a
Yeah,
soundtrack for that.
Electroshock and John Wayne was a Nazi.
Yeah.
They were so good. I want them to work together so bad. Again, really bummed I missed the Hallucination and Fucked Up touring together because, like, oh, that show sounds so good. I want them to release an album together. That's my what I want.
What do you think the status of Effed Up is right now? Like, do you think they're totally fractured, or like, what do you think the deal is?
I don't think they're hanging out every day, but I think they're keeping in contact. And I think they're putting things together either remotely or get or however. I think they're finding a way to make it work, but I don't think they're forcing anything creative. I think they're just like, if something happens, we'll all have a call or we'll figure something out. We'll all get together somehow and work it out. And other than that, we're just gonna float around and do whatever else we want to do, like work on our other projects or like work on our podcasts or work on just have it just living, So I don't think there's any animosity between them.
Let's see how many Zodiacs are left, because they're almost there, astoundingly. I thought they would never make it, but I'm glad they are.
I think they're
There
gonna make it.
are, let's see here, one. Where's Year of the Dog?
Do they not have year results?
I'm looking at Discogs right now, because Year of the Pig was the second one. Oh, there's Year of the Dog. I found it. Okay, so here we go. We've got one, let's see, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Eight Zodiacs down, four to go, Em. It's
Ooh,
funny,
they're getting there.
I'm scrolling through like their Discogs and like I became a fan right when Year of the Pig came out, so 2007, and I'm scrolling through like all these seven and shit. I remember getting them when they came out. Like, now they're like these some are like 15 years old or almost 20 years old. I'm like, damn, like I remember getting, doesn't seem that long ago. I remember like getting these when they came out. Anyways, so yeah, walking down history lane with John, with memory lane with John. Let's see here, oh, so here's kind of a controversial story.
What is?
Scal have dropped off Welcome to Rockville Festival. They said, we will not perform at this year's Welcome to Rockville Festival in Daytona Beach, Florida, due to the U.S. Army sponsorship of the event. This follows them dropping off of South by Southwest for the same reason, which that made a lot of waves. This didn't make a lot of waves. I've got, actually, I don't have a definite opinion on this. I've got several perspectives on this. And I don't know if you want to kick it off, or you want me to kick it off. I will say that the commenters are just beating this band up. And the only reason they're beating this band up is because the singer is a woman. I mean, for real. You know what I mean?
Oh
And
no, 100%.
I'm so tired. You can just, you don't even have to read that far between the lines. It's like, it's like, it's so annoying. You know what I mean?
Good old misogyny.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't, and you want to kick this off, or you want me to kick this off?
I have a little bit to say. Sure, I'll kick it off. Well, first with like South by Southwest going. Them leaving South by Southwest, when they announced that, a bunch of other bands had already announced that they were leaving, so they were part of the wave of that. Two, Welcome to Rockville. Again, I'm not very familiar with the festival. I know it is in Florida, and I believe that's where the saxophonist peed on, or the no, the vocalist peed on someone on
The vocals of what
stage.
band? Not a scowl. You're thinking
No,
of that
not
race.
Scowl.
The band that did like Brass Against the Machine or something.
Yeah, the band that did Rage Against the Machine covers. I think that's a festival where the vocalist
Em,
peed
don't
on
look at Sue
someone.
for defamation, Em. You gotta be careful. It sounded like you were talking about it was not Scal. It was, I think
No,
it
it
was the
was not Scowl. It was
Brass Against the
Brass
Machine.
Against the Machine. Yeah.
Woof. Em's trying her hardest to get a suit.
Don't sue me. I have no money. With them dropping off the festival, I think it's great. I think it's like you made a statement with your South by Southwest not playing, and you have stuck to your beliefs and stuck to what you believe in. And you're like, well, this festival has the same issue, so we're out. I think that's great. They're again on tour with a lot of other bands, like the big pop punk tour with like 4 Year Strong and two other bands who I'm forgetting right now. That's starting soon. They've been on the road pretty much constantly. Like, they're not missing anything by not playing Welcome to Rockville at all. Personally, I don't think any military organization should be sponsoring music festivals, and I don't think they should be at music festivals trying to recruit people. I also don't think they should be at schools or in low-income areas trying to recruit people because it's extremely predatory. In conclusion, good on Scal for dropping off the festival. John, take her away.
Yeah, I disagree a little bit. There's a lot to reflect here. What I thought was interesting about Scal dropping off of South by Southwest is, at first I'm like, oh, I'm like that might not be a smart business move or music industry move. But on the other hand, like at that point and at this point, Scal has so much juice. Like them pulling off of South by Southwest needs them more than they need Scal. And it's like kind of such a powerful statement that like it kind of gives them more juice, if you will,
Yeah, definitely.
That being said, if they keep doing it, I mean, like the music industry and the music world is very, very, very small. Very small. People will be surprised how small it is. So if you go around causing trouble, here and there, in a way that's awesome and it's extremely punk. But it can cause you trouble in the future. But on the other hand, is if you say, I really don't care about causing trouble. In a way that can almost make you invincible. I mean, Crass is one example who didn't care, but that's kind of. I'm thinking of a band that kind of. I'm trying, of a modern American band that kind of did what they wanted and didn't care about the how that might affect them through people with clout later on. I mean, I know there's been some. So anyway, I think it's cool that they're standing by their principles. But that being said, I don't know how fully thought out this is because. Is they're pulling out because there's the association with the U.S. military. Well, do they wear Levi's jeans because they invest in arms? Do they buy things that are made in China because China is way worse than the U.S. military when it comes to oppression, Chinese government? Do they use Amazon, who is completely obliterating small businesses across the state? I mean, across the country every month.
Across the world.
Across the world. Not only that, Amazon is one of the reasons why COVID was so brutal to the United States and North America, because Amazon has caused the shutdown of so many supply chain channels, and so why this one thing to pick? You know what I mean? I think there's other things to strike out better, and you can always, I mean, there's that phrase, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism, which may be true. So you can find bad things about anything, you know what I mean? So in a way it's almost empty symbolism, but maybe to them it is. Maybe they're like, we know this is not making an actual difference, but the symbol itself is worth the artistic statement. But on the other hand, I gotta say, like I can't get I police I think United States police need a lot better training. I think they need some severe what's what I'm looking for? Rejiggering
Oversight.
it. No. What's it? At the fundamental level, the United States police in the state police, well, police are always state, but needs to be fundamentally reconstruct it. That being said, you need police, you know. Similarly, I know a lot of punk don't like the military, but you need a military. I mean, if there was no military, Putin would be ruling all of Europe right now, you know. The only reason Putin didn't invade Ukraine was because of the US military and some other militaries around the world worldwide. I've lived in parts of the world where there aren't really police and there isn't really a military. I mean, there is, but there isn't. It's not like it as we think it. And it's not cool, man. It's really not cool. So I can't get down with that statement. I can get down the statement against certain policies, but I don't know if beating up the US military as a whole is a statement I agree with. But then again, doesn't matter if I agree with it, it's their statement. And so I guess I would say I appreciate the symbolism that here's my statement. I think it's cool they're standing by their convictions, and I think they're making a clear statement, even if it's symbolic. But I think I don't agree with it. So there's my answer. What do you think of that?
Good, you've voiced your opinion.
And just like I didn't want to destroy Michael Graves, even though I did, I support their right to say whatever they want to say. So yeah. So we'll see. The question is, Em, is Scow going to keep climbing or is it going to bust? That's the question.
Oh, I think Scowl are 100% going to keep climbing because I think a lot of people, especially a lot of young people, are really tired of being forced into positions where you have to support things that you don't believe in just
That's true.
to
That's true.
advance. You know what I mean? And I think we're seeing it now more so than ever, where it's like, oh yeah, you want me to do this? Well, I don't agree with this. This is something else that is bad. I'm going to like forge my own path. I'm going to do something my own way. I don't need to play into this hand. If it makes me feel gross, I can find another way. So I think that by sticking up for what they believe in, they'll have support for their whole career. And they'll just keep climbing because there's other bands who agree. There's so many other bands who agree with them. There's so many other like labels and promoters and bookers and whatever, like all across the world who agree with their stance and will probably seek them out to work with them because of it. So I don't think they're in any danger of like business wise or whatever, mobility wise. What do you think? John, are you there? I
Yeah.
can hear
And do you
clicking.
think Scout's going to become a pop band?
I don't think they're going to become a pop band. I could see them leaning more into like alt rock, though. What about you?
I
And
actually
why?
can't. Well, so here's the question is, I mean, not to be doom and gloom, but if you're going to be a punk band, you're only going to get so big. You know what I mean? If you're going to be an aggressive punk
Right.
band. Name an aggressive so and but Scout has enormous momentum behind them, and you know, the last EP did suggest sort of a movement towards pop, and I'm not even saying that's a bad thing.
No.
So I mean, like, but like, so do you think they're going to become like as big as like that band, not Agent Orange, Code Orange? Do you think they're going to become bigger than that? Do you think they're going to become as big as Carly Rae Jepsen? Are they going to become as big as Taylor Swift? Like how big you think you're going to get, and what path you think you're going to get there, take to get there?
I think they're going to take the path that feels right to them and the path that they stay true to what they believe,
Yeah, but I'm saying,
no
what is
matter
that?
what their path is.
Like you think you're going to become a metal band? Because metal bands are bigger
No.
than punk. You can't argue with that. Like a metal bands in general. In the media are way bigger than punk bands. Are they going to stay a hardcore band? Are they going to become a grunge band? Like, how big do you think you're going to get?
I think they're going to expand on what they did on Psychic Dance Routine, where they're going to have like some popular stuff and they're going to keep some hardcore stuff. I don't think they're going to get rid of hardcore completely by any stretch of the imagination. And I think they probably get up to probably Code Orange range or above because like The thing is, they have a lot of charisma and they have a lot of really good songs, and they're obviously all very talented, and they have proven again and again with like getting support slots on stadium tours that they can really command a large space. So I think they're gonna just expand on what they're doing now. I don't think we're gonna see a huge shift where all of a sudden, surprise, they're a metal band, or surprise, they're purely a pop band. I think they're definitely gonna incorporate those elements, but I don't think they're going to jump feet first in that pool, if that makes sense.
I actually think they might move towards a pop territory, to tell you the truth. And I'm not opposed to that. Like, the remix of Psychic Gangster Team is probably my favorite song from Psychic Gangster Team. And so yeah, I think they're going to kind of, like, they might keep like some aspects of hardcore. But I think they're going to become like a dance band, not a dance band, a pop band, I think. And maybe kind of the challenge, though, Em, is if you look at, like, Ceremony was the hardcore band, and they
For
said,
sure.
now we're going to be post-punk, and they never really recovered from that. And even live is a challenge. So they've got these slow, moody numbers, and then some fast songs, and then, oh wait, the energy's gone, here's some slow, moody numbers, and here's a fast. You know what I mean? Like, Ceremony wasn't able to make that leap, although Effed Up was. But then again, Effed Up at this point is not as big as Ceremony, and Ceremony isn't even really that big of a band. I mean, Ceremony and Scowl are probably about the same size now. Scowl might even be bigger,
For sure.
So we'll see. We'll see. So I think they will take movements towards pure pop, and I'm not opposed to it. Let's see here. We got a couple of stories to close with. Oh, the Draculas. The
Yeah.
Draculas put out a song today that we premiered. It is called. And the reason my computer froze up is because I was looking at Circle Jerks tickets. I thought I bought them, but I didn't.
Oh,
And
no.
I have someone that says, "Oh, I'll get you in." But I don't know if I want to rely on like, do I want to rely on that? But then on the other hand, like, it's like $60 for tickets or $65. Like,
Oh.
maybe I will rely on it, And it shows that big, you can usually figure out how to get in. So we'll see. Anyways,
Very true.
the Draculas have released a video called "Fall Asleep When I'm Dead." It's freaking awesome. It is awesome. I mean, I'm not even like, this is not like we're like, oh, it's band John Lang, so he's saying it's awesome. The only reason I know of this band is because John Lango, who used to drum for Crazy in the Brains, temporarily drummed for Draculas, and then he said, "John, you gotta check out this band, Draculas." And then I went to a show that John Lango was not even playing at, just hanging out at, and then I saw the band and I talked to the guy briefly, and then he emailed me and he's like, "Hey, can you debut this track?" And I said, "Sure." And then I listened to it after I said I would debut it, and it is friggin' awesome. It's kind of like surf rock goth, and I friggin' love it. And what do you think of this track?
This was so much fun. The sound is great. Surf rock goth is a perfect way to put it. The bass tone is wild on this. The vocalist is amazing. It just has such a cool, like, creepy vibe to it, you know? Also, the Draculas is a great name. And like, the video just kind of backs up everything in the song. Like, it's all purple lit, except for a couple times when it's red, when the shadow demon, sleep paralysis demon, hat guy shows up. Big fan of this. I enjoyed this a lot. I like this style of music. I have to check more out by them.
Maybe I did buy Circle Jerks tickets. I did. See,
Where?
goddamn.
Did
See,
you
I'm glad
lose
I
them?
checked. No. So there's a post on Facebook that says, "Don't forget Circle Jerks tickets, only 150 tickets left." I'm like,
Oh,
damn, I guess I forgot to buy my ticket. So I clicked on it, took me to Ticketmaster, but it was all like resale tickets. I'm like, that's weird. And then I saw a tiny,
Oh.
see, I hate Ticketmaster. And then I saw like a link that says, or you, it's like you can buy resale tickets for $55 each. Or you can, there's a tiny little button that says, or buy it from the website directly, where they're only $35, which is where I got them, which is very reasonable. The Send in Circles are going to add less for $35, very reasonable. And that's where I bought my ticket. So I did buy a ticket. I almost bought the same stupid ticket twice. Damn it.
I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad you checked.
I freaking hate Ticketmaster, and I hate them so much. But I love the Draculas. I love them. I think they're great. I might even try to
Yeah.
throw them on a Punk News show. Let's see here.
That'd be
Two last
cool.
stories. Two last stories. Em, you want to do the kind of boring one first or the kind of infuriating one first? What do you want to do first?
Let's
Actually, no.
do.
I should have asked you. Let's do Kiss first because I think you
Okay.
and I are going to disagree slightly on the last one. So
Got it.
I'm glad Em picked up this. I was surprised Em picked up this story because Em usually stays pretty well within the punk world and including M more type bands, but
Oh,
I always love when M ventures outside. Kiss has sold everything. They've sold not only their sound recordings, not only their publishing, but also their name, any intellectual property, anything whatsoever related to Kiss, the face designs, the trademarks, everything Kiss has sold. And the reason they sold it to a company called Pop House Entertainment, who plans to do these digital Kiss shows. Which I guess, like, M, is it you see, do you see people dressed as Kiss, or is it like all
Oh
like just video projections?
no, they're like holograms. Because the company that is doing this also did the, well, it's co-owned or co-founded, sorry, by one of the people in ABBA, and they did the ABBA Voyage show, which was holograms of ABBA from like their heyday performing on stage. So they're all digital creations.
Did that make money? Who would
Yep.
pay to see that?
Tickets were pretty expensive from what I remember.
Did you go?
No, it was in London.
Oh,
Yeah.
so I think they sold it for like $300 million or something. Wasn't that how much
$300
it went?
million dollars,
Oh, and
reportedly, upwards of.
here's Gene Simmons' stupid ass statement. Collaboration is exactly what it's about. No, it's not. You sold everything. This is not collaboration. It's sale. Like what an asshole. I hate Gene. It would be. I'm good. We're talking about this now instead of when the Melbournes wrong because the Melbournes still love Kiss. It would be
Oh,
remiss
no.
in
All right.
it would be remiss in our. I hate how Gene. I think Gene is dumb actually. Even though he's made lots of money, I think he's dumb because he uses needlessly complex language which he doesn't need to use to in order to make himself sound smart. In my life, I've worked with three geniuses, one definite genius, two probably geniuses. And they
Okay.
never use unnecessary fancy words. Like they're so smart that they use the simplest word to convey exactly what they mean to convey. You know what I mean? So like they
100%.
don't showboat at all. You know what I mean? And actually, going back to what I talked about earlier, one
Yes.
genius I worked with in my life was when I was in undergrad and I was taking up Egyptology, and my professor was Dr. Donald Redford, who literally knew like 35 languages, and I'll go on about some other time. But he could like learn a language in like a
Cool.
week. You know what I mean? Like he needed
Oh,
to learn like
wow.
ancient. He needed to learn like some obscure version of Akkadian. He already knew ancient Akkadian, but he needed some obscure Akkadian. And the only book that translated that was in like not even Swedish, like Lithuanian or something. So he
Oh my
learned
gosh.
Lithuanian in a week to learn like some obscure version of Akkadian. You know what I mean?
Oh,
And
that's amazing.
the guy was a literal genius, and he didn't know what
Oh.
street he lived on. He didn't know the name of the street he lived on.
Well, he's too preoccupied learning languages.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he would never speak this way. You know what I mean? And he would never try to.
Right.
And he would never say I'm a genius, or he would never try to say I like he's so smart. I don't even know if he realizes he's that smart. You know what I mean?
For
Anyways,
sure.
so this is Gene being an asshole. It would be remiss in our inferred fiduciary duty. See what I did there to the thing that we created to abandon it. People might misunderstand and think, okay, now Pop House is doing that stuff and we're just in Beverly Hills twiddling our thumb. No, that's not true. We're in the trenches with them. We talk all the time. We share ideas. It's a collaboration. Paul Stanley and I, especially with the band, we'll stay committed to this. It's our baby. We're not going to tour. But then he like, totally contradicts what he was just saying. We're not
Yep.
going to tour again as Kiss, period. We're not going to put the makeup on and go out there. Like he seems to be confused as to what he's saying, you know? At any rate, what's annoying to me is that Kiss is a shitty band. They were always shitty. Their music is boring. They basically ripped off Alice Cooper, but did a crappier version of it and made way more money, I think, but maybe not. And their music is bad. Gene Simmons is such an asshole. Paul Stanley is an asshole. But they won, Em. They've won. In the end, they've made millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars by abusing and taking advantage of other fans and treating their fans like they're slot machines or money machines or ATMs and nothing more than that. and just giving them garbage and making them pay for it. And he's won, Em. He's won. He sold it for $300 million. How much did the David Bowie estate sell for, which I'm still mad about? Let me see here.
I believe it sold for less than that.
I know. Isn't that insane? Bowie, $250 million.
Yeah. And
But
that was
that's
just publishing rights.
Just publishing. But isn't it insane that Kiss is even in the same league as David Bowie, M? As David Bowie?
But they had to sell more than David Bowie had to.
That's true, but still, Gene's getting 300 mil. I mean, ugh. I hate Gene.
He didn't make enough from Family Jewels.
I'm guessing that you like Kiss, Em. Do you like Kiss or something?
I am not a Kiss fan.
Oh,
I do not like Kiss.
So what does this story say to you?
Well, we've seen so many people like selling their catalogs and stuff, and this is like a step further than just selling your catalog.
Yes,
this is
you're right.
Selling the essence of what you've done and what you've built and what you've created. You know what I mean? Like, this is selling your face and your body. Well, this is selling your face and your likeness and like your name and all of these things that it just boggles the mind that, you know, you can sell to be made into like a hologram and like all this kind of stuff. And this isn't in the story, but one of the articles I read when I was like looking into this, because like it popped up everywhere today and I was like, what is going on? And it was like, I have to find out. So then I was like, this would be a good thing for punk news, because it's like, it's music news. Again, it's one of the largest sales, and I believe the only sale that I'm aware of where it's not just catalog, it's
right.
literally everything.
I like how you stated, like, you stated as he's selling the essence of what it is. You're absolutely right. Like,
and like, it fits Kiss, right? Because they're just commercial. Like, that's all they are. They never really gave a shit about anything.
They're just a commercial. And that is, you're on fire today, Em. You're on fire.
Hey.
Kiss is just a commercial, which is true. It is. It's a commercial. It's a commercial with nothing behind the commercial. It's just a commercial, you know? Oh, I hate Kiss. I hate Gene.
Oh, there was a show on the other day. And it, pardon?
And Paul. I hate Paul.
Too. Oh, all of them. There was a show on the other day.
I like Ace
like
and Peter Chris. I like Ace and Peter Chris.
Okay, so you like two of them.
But they don't get.
Why do you
money,
like them?
Because they're much more human. But also like if I knew Ace, maybe I wouldn't like them. But like Ace and Paul sold their shares in like 1980 for like nothing, for like 50 grand or something. And they made terrible business decisions. But part of it is probably because Peter and Gene kind of pushed them out. You know what I mean? But they didn't have to. But they, on the other hand, they were owners and they decided to sell. So it's on them. You know what I mean? It's just frustrating. I don't.
But
I
like
them.
That sucks.
They seem nice enough. Yeah, it sucks. But
Well, and it's
knows?
Also like, what are you gonna do with $300 million? Like, you have it, and not to be morbid, but like, they're all getting up there in age. It's not like they're gonna be around forever. And I guess you have it for your family and you kind of set up like a generational wealth kind of thing. But I don't know, like, doesn't it just seem like you're trading? Well, again, I was gonna say you're trading a lot for it, but also it's Kiss, and this is kind of what they were made for at the same time. Like, it fits.
I'm just so annoyed that Gene Simmons has been an asshole his entire career and has been a creep and a jerk, and it worked for him. It worked for him. That's what I'm annoyed about. No comeuppance whatsoever. Was that was a show? I never saw it.
Yeah, it was their reality show that followed his family.
Does he have kids? I didn't know that he had kids. Is he married?
He was married to oh my gosh, I forget her name, but she was born in Canada and she was a Playboy bunny.
I don't know her name, but
Shannon Tweed. There we go.
Oh, I don't know who that is. Should I know who that is? Should I care?
I only know about her because I found the show one time.
I feel like you know a lot about
After
Kiss,
the Osbournes.
Em. I feel like
I
you know
don't...
a lot about Kiss.
I know Kiss did a crossover episode with Scooby-Doo that I was kind of tricked into watching because I thought it was just
That's
Scooby-Doo.
Funny. I'd watch that.
Wait, I'll see if I... It's on YouTube. But other than that, I don't know. Because, okay, what was it? I really crappy reality TV, and I really like reality when reality TV and like rock intersects. So like, have you ever heard of Ex-Wives of Rock?
No.
This has nothing to do with Kiss. That was a show that was on when I got my wisdom teeth out, and I watched the entire like two or three seasons in like a week or two. And it was great. But anyway, Family Jewels was on after some show, and it was like a they tried to do the Osbournes, basically. But yeah, it wasn't that good.
Did you watch Flavor of Love? Because I watched every episode.
I have not seen Flavor of Love.
I love Flavor Flav, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. Did you watch Jersey Shore?
Oh, I knew a lot of people who really liked it, and I've just seen clips. But I've never seen a full episode.
I watched the original. The original I like, but if I watch it now, I probably would not like it. Anyways,
You didn't watch Family Reunion?
no, nah, I don't. I honestly, I don't care. Like, I don't care. Like back when it was out, it was like all the rage. I enjoyed watching it and laughing at them, even though they're making millions and millions of dollars. Why I'm laughing?
Yeah.
Whereas Flavor of Love, I like the Flav. Like, I want the like. I'm not laughing at Flav.
Right.
I'm enjoying Flav's existence. You know what I mean? And I'm
Yeah.
recognizing that Flav is ridiculous, but I like the Flav. You know.
Definitely.
And I like the fact that the Flav like annoys Chuck D because I'm annoyed by Chuck D, so I like the Flav annoys Chuck D. So anyways, yeah, Flav of Love, I definitely enjoyed that. And let's wrap this up.
Alrighty.
Coxbar, they have released their final album's out. Is it this Friday or last Friday? It's out, like, I
This
think it's this
Friday.
Friday. Anyways, and actually I'm probably gonna review it because I got sent it, and you know, I figure I got sent it by a label that is always sending me stuff that I just don't care about at all. But I sort of care about this. I'm like, oh, I'll throw them a bone. Actually, no, I don't like the label. Anyway, Coxbar has their final album, Head on No, Hand on
Yes.
Heart.
Hand on heart.
Oh no, it's out via Captain Oi. I like Captain Oi. Oh, it's out via Randale, which I believe is Lars' label. And another label that I'm not going to mention. I like Captain Oi a lot, so I will review because I like Captain Oi. So the album is out on Friday. It's called Hand on Heart, and they've released a track. It's called Here We Stand, a very Coxbar title. And some of the readers said, "Oh, this is so great." And did you think this was so great?
I was not a fan of this.
Why? Pourquoi?
because the video pissed me off. I do not really know exactly what about the video it was, because it's just a guy, he's delivering packages for his job, and he's kind of in the dumps, and then he buys Coxbar tickets for him and his friends, and they meet up and they have a couple drinks, and it's implied they go to the show because there's like intercut with Coxbar on stage and stuff, and that's nice. And it's shot in black and white, and I don't know, something about it just got under my skin, and the video bothered me at like a visceral level, and I really don't know what it is, because I thought it was something when before we started the episode, and then I really thought about that, and it's like that's not the reason. I just don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. It's just something that bothered me immensely about it, and that distracted me from the song. Again, from what I remember of the song, like the message of unity and like lifting each other up, and we really care about our fans. Like that's really awesome and that's really great. But I don't know, the video just got under my skin.
See, I actually had a totally different reaction than M. And actually, M mentioned this before the show, and I'm gonna call her out on it. M,
Go for it.
and feel free to disagree, M. M felt that this was exploitative of the working class.
That was my
True?
initial, okay, that was my initial reaction, because usually when like something gets under my skin, it's something along those lines. But then I was thinking about it, and I don't think that's the case. I think that
You
was like,
only think that's not the case because I said that's not the case, Em. You're changing your
no.
story now. But listen, listeners, before the show, Em's like,
No.
I feel this is exploitative of the working class. And I said, well, aha, Em,
Because I
do you
thought
know
about it.
Colin, the singer, is working class. He like works in a bar, and the members of Cox Bar actually are pretty working class. So I was not offended by it that way. I was offended because I think it's just okay. I think it's an all right song. I like Cox Bar in general. I like their second record. But after I hear like six or seven Cox Bar songs in a row, I'm like, that's Cox Bar. Yep. Oi, we're gonna stay together and work. And drink and be united and wear
And see
Cox
Cox
Bar
Bar.
and see Cox Bar. Although I've seen Cox Bar and I enjoy Cox Bar, though I was offended by Cox Bar to the extent that they were headlining over Flag and did appear to be much bigger or much more anticipated than Flag, which I thought was insane in America. In England, I understand, but in America, I was like, Cox Bar is actually pretty big in America, and I don't know why. They're good. I just don't think they're amazing. I think this song is okay. So yeah, man, Cox Bar, they're cool. I dig them. I think it's all right. I think it's all right. M,
Yeesh.
feel free to disagree with my attack on you as to why you change your opinion.
Okay, so why I said that initially is because usually if something gets under my skin at that level, it's because there's like clearly exploitation happening. And just with some of the stuff, and I'm not going to go into detail with this, but like with some of the stuff that I've been kind of dealing with working on the past few days, that's been a lot of it, is a lot of exploitation in different aspects of like what people will use to get clicks. So that's just what was at the like the
Am I
top of
feeling what
my
you're talking
head.
about? Is this in regards to punk news or something else? I have no idea what you're talking
Oh,
about.
this is not in regards to punk news. This is in
Oh.
regards to something completely different. But so that was kind of at the top of my head, and I think that's probably why I initially said that. And then when you were like, oh well, no, like that's not kind of what's going on, I really thought about it, and it was like, well yeah, like from what I know about Cox Bar, which really isn't a lot, that lines up. And then I thought about the video again, and it's like, well, it doesn't feel exploitative. I just kind of jumped to that just because that's something that's sort of just been in my frame of mind lately. So
So
I
M,
don't know.
are you saying M that every time you point your finger at someone, you're pointing four back at yourself?
Not
Or
always, but
three?
in this
Or
case,
three?
maybe.
That's so true. Not always, but sometimes. So true,
Yeah, not, I think that's just what happened was, yeah, because again, thinking back on it, there's nothing exploitative necessarily about the video. It just got under my skin, and I'm really not sure why. It just
Well, that
did.
and listen, I just can't get with that because I'm never annoyed by anything, and I never
Sure.
rant about things that annoy me, and I never harangue people or saying, "Yeah, how dare you do this tiny slight against me, which I will hold against you forever." I just can't relate to that at all. At any rate, so anyway, that wraps up today's action-packed episode. So
Oh.
we got a lot coming up. Oh, you want to say something else, Sam?
Actually, yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Before we wrap up this action-packed episode, we have a contest,
Oh, yeah.
folks. We have a giveaway, and we're going to be hyping this for a couple weeks. So get your calendars out. So we are giving away two tickets to Shannon and the Clams, at who are playing the concert
Speaking
hall.
of holding things against people forever, but go ahead, Em, go ahead.
I know. So a pair of tickets for Shannon and the Clams at the concert hall in Toronto, Ontario, on May 25th, which is a Saturday. The show is 19 plus. If you live in Toronto or the surrounding area and you're over 19, shoot us an email at podcast@punknews and tell us why you should be the one to win the tickets.
Yeah, brah.
Yeah.
And so anyway, you can reach the podcast at Punk News, like Em said. And otherwise, Em and Sam, or Em, Sam, and I will see you next week. And then after that, the Melvins, and then after that, Cunts. And then after that, who knows? Anyways, Em, hit him with some closing words.
Ooh, I had, oh shit, I had this earlier. What was it? Oh, damn it.
You're floundering, Em. You're floundering.
Shit, I know. No, I had like the perfect thing earlier because it tied into something we were talking about. Oh, that's terrible.
You're crashing and burning, Em. You're crashing
I
and
know.
burning.
I know. This is my nightmare. You, this is my sleep paralysis demon. This is what keeps me up at night. This is why I have insomnia and like several other sleep
You're
disorders.
blowing it, Em. You're blowing it. Speaking of sleep paralysis, that is what the Draculas song that we premiered is all about.
May this episode be your sleep paralysis demon.